You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06, and we've made it to Thanksgiving week, a Monday morning, November 24th. Nice to have you here up north. Parker Olson is producing things down in Madison Studio A2. We are joined, as always, on Mondays by Dr. Kristen Lyerly and by Selena Heller from Up North News. And also coming up this hour, Abigail Swetz will be joining us from Fair, Wisconsin, to talk about the ongoing fight for fairness for members of the LGBTQ community here in our state. But before we get to that, Selena has been talking to the father of an actress that you can see in the Wicked movies. And, you know, the life circumstances that seem to fit in properly with the role that she is portraying here as part of that movie, Selena. That was a nice conversation that you had with, is it Sean Bodie?
Sean Bodie, yes. Right. And the Bodies are from Mazamani in Dane County. And that is where Marissa grew up. Marissa Bodie plays Nessa Rose, Elphaba's sister. So pretty great story that she has, the success that she has had. And she started her local acting career in Mazamani. And then even when her accident happened when she was 11, she was on her way to play practice in Madison at the Children's Theater. And her and her mom got in a car accident. They were rear-ended. And Marissa was paralyzed from the waist down. Then she went to Los Angeles to still pursue her acting career. And she is the first person ever to play the character Nessa Rose. She's actually in a wheelchair. Nessa Rose, the character in the story, is in a wheelchair, and she's the first person to actually be in a wheelchair. And then that's a major milestone for representation in the film industry. And it was just a really neat story. I talked to Sean, I think over an hour we chatted. He told me stories. Oh my goodness, the stories he told me. It was really a fun chat we had.
All right. Well, lead us into our first, what are we going to hear from him?
Just kind of little tidbits about kind of the journey, the journey to Wicked.
Let's give a listen.
This is very important, you know, to her, to us, but definitely to the people in the world of disabilities. It's been a journey. It's been a journey since the day of her accident. This community has just been behind us, you know, and we're so grateful for them, you know, and we love being part of this community, and we help each other out. That's what we do. She called and said, "Mom, Dad, this is crazy. You're not going to believe this. They're making a Barbie doll of me, and it looks exactly like me." She just was floored by that. And then earlier this year, January, is when they announced that they're even making a Lego version. It was just, if there's one good thing about her moving away from Wisconsin to go to a school out in LA and spending her money when she could have had a full ride scholarship here, is the fact that it allowed her to kind of find herself, who she was. Just the joy of experiencing this whole 2 years, just seeing this come to fruition, watching her on screen and just being blown away. Glad for her, glad for our community, glad that at this moment in life when we need some joy, we have that.
And of course, you're hearing some music in the background there because this is part of a story that Selena has put together for Up North News, that you can find the full story on our social media feeds here. But yeah, Selena, you can hear that as one proud papa.
Oh my gosh, so proud. And he does like short films on the side, you know, so he's really interested. And then when Marissa goes and auditions for shows, you know, she calls him and they chat, and it's just a really great relationship that they have. And, you know, Mesa Maney, 1,700 people, so mm-hmm. pretty big deal for their town.
Right.
And then he talks about that, you know, they, when the filming was happening, it happened in London. So his wife went out first, and then she watched it for a while. She came back, and then he went to London and watched it. And so he talked a lot about kind of meeting the stars mm-hmm. and how that was. And John Chu, the director, showed up. When Marissa learned she got the part, he was on a Zoom call and they were just chatting, but she had no idea she got the part. And then the two actors who played Elphaba and Glinda, Ariana Grande and
Cindy.
Yes, Arriva. Cindy Arriva, thank you. They came in the door holding a sign that said, "Will you be our Nessa Rose?" And that was a surprise.
That's great. Mm-hmm. All right.
So this is him talking, Sean talking about when he was in London watching the shooting and the shooting of the movie, and how he met Ariana Grande.
At one point, being a, I don't know if I haven't told too many people this, but I'm a former break dancer. Yeah, I'm old. I'm older now. I break more than I dance. But I was kind of, they had some two or three hip hoppers off to the side of the entourage. That was, and I was kind of mimicking them, and I told the, and when they went for a break around 1 or 2 o'clock, I told the choreographer I used to be a break dancer, and Ariana Grande is off to my left, you know. And actually what's funny about that was I came up to see Marissa, talk to Marissa at the break, and Ariana Grande is just kind of looking at me weird, and Marissa goes, "Oh, Dad," and she gave me a hug, you know, and it's like, "Oh, wow." And so I told the choreographer I used to be a break dancer, and the choreographer goes, "Oh, really? Well, show us some moves." So I did a couple moves there. She gasped, and Ariana was like, "Oh," like. So that was my introduction to Ariana.
This is so different. My dad, the break dancer, you know, usually it's like, you know, the proud papa role is usually played by somebody who's like, "Yep, I charged up San Juan Hill with Teddy Roosevelt or something. And now I'm a former break dancer."
Break dancer. So, I busted some moves. They're like, "Whoa,
he breaks more than he dances." He said,
"Breaks more than he dances." I like that.
He gives off this energy, like your neighbor, like you could just bump into him at the grocery store while you're looking at eggs together. And then all of a sudden he would bust out some crazy story about how his daughter's a famous actress in Wicked.
Yes,
it's going to be a sitcom. Like that. Just chatting with him. I mean, he was coming up with all of these sorts of stories.
Well, and Selena, you've been in roughly 2,000 plays, it feels like, around the Chippewa Valley here. I mean, how does that feel to hear that kind of energy from somebody who chased that all the way to Hollywood?
Oh my gosh, it was so neat. I mean, we talked for so long, but I said I could sit and listen to you all night because it was just so interesting. And her path there, it was really interesting. I enjoyed chatting with him a lot.
Yeah. Oh, and of course, you mentioned Maisel Maney, so I have to the obligatory family tie that singer Skylar Gray is also from the Maisel Maney area, and she's a Kreitlow. Her mom, Candace Kreitlow, still lives and performs in that area. So Maisel Maney, hotbed of talent. Who knew?
Oh,
right?
Who knew? Yeah.
All right. So our question of the day that we talked about earlier, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, is how far are you traveling for Thanksgiving? And if it's not very far, then, you know, what is the plan? For example, Walt puts up, "I am going 0.0 kilometers or miles or feet. I am hosting 22 people and one rescue dog from both families and only one coffee pot."
Oh my gosh. Oh. I've learned that, though. Need more coffee.
You're definitely going to need more coffee on this. Let's see. Alicia says, I also asked, how far away are your guests coming? And she said the farthest is the kiddo coming from Houghton, Michigan. And she writes, the key is to make it through Thanksgiving week. I said, hey, you made it to Thanksgiving week. No, the key is to make it through Thanksgiving week here. Robin Tigerton says, good morning from Tigerton. It's partly cloudy, 32 degrees over the weekend. I got my snowblower going and ready for the winter. I watched the Packer victory and had a great pizza at Jägerbombs in Tigerton. Still the ultimate name for a bar. Jägerbombs.
That rocks.
And he says, for Thanksgiving, I'm traveling to Caroline to have Thanksgiving with my sister Lori at her house. So there you go.
Nice.
So there's Rob. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Kristen, you had the Vikings in town to play the Packers. I did not see any photos from you at the game this time.
OMG, I was there. I was 100% there. Yes. At the beginning of the game, I actually put it out. I did put a video out, but it wasn't my video. Okay. But yeah, it was the defense over in the end zone doing this goal cheer, which I so loved.
That was fantastic.
Did you see that?
No, because so awesome. I heard the whole game on the radio, so I saw some kind of reference this morning on social media, but I hadn't looked at it yet. So they were all doing, were they mocking the skull thing?
They absolutely were in the most glorious way. And the people in the end zone, the people wearing green and gold in the end zone were responding. And it was just like, it was perfection.
Oh, now I got to look this up. That's wonderful. I don't understand the origin of the skull thing because again, you know, I grew up
in a soccer thing.
Minnesota.
European soccer thing.
It's just that when
they stole it.
We moved out of the country for 3 years, 2014, 15, 16. We came back in 17 and we watched very little. We watched the occasional Packers game, but that was it. And I started to see this thing that they were doing at the new US Bank Stadium. And I thought, was that like an overnight thing? Did they like teach all the Vikings fans in one off season or did this just slowly build? I have no idea what the origin of it is. And I say that because I don't like it. If I were still in Minnesota, I'd be like, this is goofy.
I think it's awesome. As a former gopher, like if you take the team out of it, it's if you ever go to a game at US Bank Stadium and the fans are excited, usually at the beginning of the game before it starts, there's fire and the team is running out and everybody is yelling skull and it is intimidating. And then the team starts to play and it kind of winds down.
I was going to say, skull from the Norwegian choke. They didn't tell them that when it got started. Look at this. Rob coming off the top rope here. Highway 29 was wet after the Packer game from the tears of the Vikings fans as they went back to Minnesota. Rob, getting
attaboy,
savage
Rob.
Over here. We appreciate that one. That's great. So there you go. The Vikings went up against the Packers defense. And again, not taking anything away from the offense. Emmanuel Wilson, 2 touchdowns, a guy whose name I'm still learning here. But that defense forcing 3 turnovers, 5 sacks. The Vikings in the second half of the game totaled 4 yards, 4 net yards and 3 turnovers, a defensive gem as the Packers beat the Vikings 23-6. You're going to say,
Kristen? They took advantage of JJ McCarthy. Nine was on the field yesterday and just wasn't happening.
No, and didn't this guy like have all this great potential when he first got started?
No.
Okay.
I don't understand why.
He didn't. Out of college? Really?
He played for a team that cheated to win a national title, and he was in a system that completely benefited a bat.
He looked good on paper.
Parker is having none of this.
I don't like him. I don't like him one bit.
Oh, that's great.
This is what's called a consequence. This is what's happening right now for the Vikings.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Again, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. How far are you traveling for Thanksgiving? Quick note on the text line from Roger and Stevens Point. It's a holiday week. Don't forget to check your garbage schedule to make sure the garbage gets picked up at the right time.
So true.
This public service announcement and more are coming to you from Mornings with Pack Right Low, powered by Up North News, here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. It's a Monday morning, 7:22 the time right now, along with Parker Olson, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, Selena Heller, and you at 855-75-CIVIC. You can call us or text us. Use that Civic Media app to call or text or leave us a voice note. Roger on the text line in Stevens Point said, I noticed the game was over by 2:45. Quick moving game. I heard Wayne and Larry talk about that as well, that the game seemed to be flying by. So the game, I wasn't noticing. The game really did end at 2:45. Was it that early? That really is something.
Yes. Yeah.
It went super fast. And it just didn't seem like the fans kind of, I love the fans.
Yeah.
But they seemed a little subdued from the very beginning. And there were a couple big moments, clearly. Mm-hmm. But we were winning so convincingly that there was no, we rarely chanted go Pack go. There was no wave. Like the things that the shenanigans you typically see, we didn't really see a lot of.
Huh.
And it wasn't because people were like frozen because it wasn't even that cold.
Yeah.
Nope.
No. I think we were just subdued.
Maybe
we
they got it all. They get it all out of their system the day before watching the Badgers beat up on Brett Bielema and Illinois.
Oh my God. That was so amazing. Yes.
Beating a ranked team 24-10. I mean, let's not go crazy here. The Badger football team is still 4-7 and 2-6 in the Big Ten. But you never go wrong beating a ranked team. You never go wrong beating up on Brett Bielema. So,
and you know what's coming up this weekend.
And coming up this weekend will be the Badgers taking on the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Saturday coverage begins at 12:30 on several Civic Media stations. And Dr. Lyerly, former Gopher mascot, will be in attendance, right?
Yeah, that's my plan. But you never know what's going to happen with this game because I think the Gophers need this game to go to a bowl. And the Badgers
do not. No.
The Badgers just want to spoil it. No. And what will probably happen, I'm just going to predict this, is the Gophers will be really like excited. And they'll go into it with all of this enthusiasm because they want to go to a bowl game. And the Badgers will be like, we got nothing to lose. And the Badgers will end up winning. That is my prediction.
To get that that Paul Bunyan axe, that is the motivation, is to get that. So again, Badgers Gophers, Saturday, 12:30. Coverage begins for a 2:30 kickoff. The Packers, by the way, play on Thanksgiving Day. They will be playing the Detroit Lions in Detroit. Coverage begins at 10 a.m., kickoff at noon across the Civic Media Radio Network. And also on Thanksgiving after the Packer game, there's Badger men's basketball. They will be playing Providence in a tournament in San Diego. Coverage begins at 2:30 Thanksgiving afternoon on several Civic Media stations as well. So there's just a lot going on. The Badger men's basketball team, by the way, lost on Friday to ninth-ranked BYU. Let's see, the Badger men's hockey team. That's the other thing. When they stormed the field after the Badgers beat Illinois, I thought it was maybe because the hockey team had beat number one Michigan State. But then Saturday night, they went and they did it again. They beat the number one team two games in a row over the weekend. So congratulations to the Badger men's hockey team.
Amazing.
The Badger women's hockey team, number one in the country, swept St. Thomas. They will next play Saturday in Nashville for a tournament playing Mercyhurst. The Badger women's volleyball team swept Iowa yesterday, and they will next play Wednesday night at Northwestern. And then just to bring everybody back to life, back to reality, the Bucks are now on a four-game losing streak. They lost to Detroit on Saturday. First time this season they've been below 500. They host the Portland Trail Blazers tonight. Don't know if Giannis is going to miss a third game in a row or if he's going to be back. So there's a little bit of sports, but a lot more sports coming up this weekend.
You can't win all the time.
No, nope. Yeah, there's got to be those little setbacks. You could. I wouldn't mind that a bit. Yeah. So as mentioned before, I am Dr. Kristen Lyerly's guest on the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show this upcoming weekend, Saturday at noon.
That sounds so good. I love that.
And it was. I'm not used to being the guest. I mean, I'm on. You know, I've been on other people's shows occasionally, but this was like this is for the full hour. You know, of back and forth on media and things, and it got me doing something because I'm so rarely the guest. I actually sent her a text after the show. I'm like, I want to change my answer on one of the questions.
Wow.
Well,
it's weird when you flip the script, because when you are used to being in the role that you do so well and all the time, you think about things from a certain perspective. But when you are being approached and you're being asked the questions, your mind has to work in a different way.
Right. You don't know the question that's coming. And so you ask something along the lines of, what is the big story or the big issue that you feel like voters are missing, that you know, voters need to know more about? And my original answer was something along the lines of, I think they underappreciate what a big difference they can make in 2026.
Which was a great answer.
Well, thank you. I mean, you can swing the legislature, the assembly, and or the Senate, and keep the governor's seat and the House of Representatives, you know, potentially the Senate. You know, you can make this big difference. If you haven't liked how things have gone this year, and why would you? You can make all that big difference, you know, next year. And afterwards, I'm like, well, no, she asked about the big problem or the big issue. And it's like, to me, it's really is about people not understanding that the wealth inequity in this country, the division, the gap. There is so much now in our politics that is essentially the billionaires and their buddies against the rest of us. I mean, we talked about Doge, you know, disappearing quietly over the weekend or so, you know, 8 months early. And all they did was get rid of a few regulations that apply to billionaires and other corporations. They didn't, you know, they didn't do any of their real stuff. They just helped their, you know, the upper crust, which is running government. And I feel like more people need to appreciate that. And people go, that's class warfare. No, that's reality. In my mind, Kristen, I don't know if you would have challenged me on that.
No, I think it's really true. And I think people do need to know that. That is politics right there, getting you to pay attention to something while you're doing something else nefarious in the background. But yep. I liked your original answer because it is the, I can do something about this answer. And people need to know, there's so much happening and it's so hard to keep up. And, you know, sometimes you have these conversations with people where they don't feel like they're well-informed enough. Yep. Well, this is a way that you can be well-informed and you can do something about it.
So the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show with yours truly coming up Saturday at noon. Thank you very much, Kristen. Thanks, Selena Heller. We'll look for your stuff on Up North News. And coming up next, Abigail Swetz is here from Fair, Wisconsin. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. It is 7:35 on a Monday morning. It's November 24th. I'm Pat Kreitlow here in Chippewa Falls. You can sign up for our newsletters at upnorthnewswi.com. We have a weekday edition that Ellie Bordeaux puts together, chock full of Wisconsin features. Today, for example, one of the stories is about a dozen different holiday parades around Wisconsin with a Christmas and holiday theme that you might like to attend. There's also our Sunday morning newsletter that I put together with a focus on politics, especially Wisconsin politics. It also includes our question of the week. And this week's question that we'll get into more tomorrow deals with artificial intelligence. Where are you on AI in terms of optimism or pessimism? And I give a range of examples of where you might be on the future of AI. And a lot of great responses are already coming in. So we'll talk a bit about the future of AI tomorrow. But that's our question of the week. Sign up for the newsletter, Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, over at upnorthnewswi.com/mornings. Again, upnorthnewswi.com/mornings. Let's welcome in Abigail Swetz from Fair, Wisconsin, as we do on our Movement Mondays, talking to groups that look to preserve freedom, dignity, democracy, all the things that we used to take for granted in this country but realize have to be fought for. Abigail knows these are fights that go on every single day, especially for our friends, neighbors, and loved ones in the LGBTQ community. Abigail, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on today. And I know that my mother is about to forward me the newsletter you were just talking about. She forwards it to me pretty much every day. I should really start subscribing.
You should. Although I love the forwards. And we encourage everybody to do that. By all means, forward away. That's wonderful. Abigail, we're mostly just learning more about Fair, Wisconsin today. So let's just start some of us have known about or been allies of the group for many, many years. But for folks that this is a whole new introduction, tell us about Fair, Wisconsin.
Of course. So Fair Wisconsin, the organization I lead, is Wisconsin's only statewide LGBTQ plus civil rights and political advocacy organization. So that means we do a lot. A lot of it is in the realm of educating the public about what it means to be a member of the LGBTQ plus community when it comes to the issues we truly care about, as opposed to other people deciding we are issues. Really lifting the humanity of our own community. We also do a lot of work in the electoral space, getting out the vote. And when it gets closer to election time, we do have political action committees and we will be endorsing. So we do a wide range of work. Right now, we are in our legislative session. And so we've been doing a lot of work at the Capitol as well.
I love the notion of, you know, getting people to focus on the issues instead of being the issue, because that really gets to the heart of part of the more divisive sector of our politics, is to, you know, make scapegoats out of people or turn attention to them in negative ways. And we have a right wing in this country that clearly, instead of tackling the issues, wants to create an issue. And you're kind of responsible for pushing back on that.
Absolutely. And I think it's important for people to realize that what we saw during the campaigns in November and then again in the spring in 2025 in our own state Supreme Court election was a lot of people running for office trying to make our community an issue. And specifically with the really vicious anti-trans campaign attack ads we saw. And now that some of the people who ran those are now in power, not all of them won. Those who did won, the research shows that is not why they won. People did not vote for those ugly campaign attack ads. People actually said, including Republicans, the majority of them, that they found them mean-spirited. And yet the people who are in power who ran them seem to be running with this idea that they want to turn that hateful rhetoric into hateful policy. And so, we've been seeing these attacks at the federal and even state level against our trans community. This federal administration put out an anti-trans executive order on day one and has taken many, many more anti-trans actions in the weeks and months since. And then, of course, also more than a few politicians in our own state are trying to say and do things that direct policies that are just outright attacks on trans people's and specifically trans youth's ability to live authentically and publicly. And it's something that we have got to stop.
It just felt like, we're talking to Abigail Swetch, by the way, from Fair Wisconsin. It just feels like, the political far right is floundering at whatever they can grab next, because it was being against civil rights. It was against equal rights for women. It was just, gay rights overall back in the day. And now, it's that subset of our trans community. And again, trying to raise, fear. And it really seems to be stoking fear more than anything else. Is that a lack of familiarity with who their friends, neighbors, loved ones might be in the trans community? Or does that not matter? They were going to be against whatever helped them gain political traction anyway.
I think you might want to ask them that question, because I'm not sure I have a great answer, since I would love it if they would just stop. But yeah. I do think it's important for us to remember that the trans community is very small. We're talking probably 1% of the population. And so it is an easy and I would say cowardly choice for people to use a very small community as a scapegoat, as a wedge, as an issue, when we are in fact, of course, talking about people whose humanity we should be respecting. And so whatever their reason, it's wrong and it needs to stop. And I think the rest of us as a community, both the LGBTQ plus community writ large and our allies and those who just want to learn more, I'm really seeing people stand up and really show up for our trans community in a way that is really inspiring and shouldn't have to happen. But since it does have to happen, we are meeting the moment. And I think that's something that we should realize.
Right. And that's exactly why we have groups like Fair Wisconsin, which you can find at fairwisconsin.com or on Facebook. Search for Fair Wisconsin. And Abigail Swetz, the executive director, is with us right now. And that's what I wanted to get into next, is this whole notion of standing up and pushing back rather than trying to retreat, trying to be invisible so that they don't attack us again. And, people often say to progressives, to Democratic politicians, why are you guys always talking about, the LGBTQ, agenda, et cetera, et cetera. And my answer has always been, we're not leading with it. But we're not going to stay quiet in the face of bigotry. We're not going to stay quiet in the face of attacks. So they know they, the political right, that if they just attack and bully, you know, the trans community, everybody in LGBTQ and their supporters, they know that people are going to want to stand up and respond and can then be accused of, well, there you go, leading with that agenda again. It's a weird little quandary we find ourselves in, but I don't think the right answer is to simply let all those attacks go unanswered.
I agree. It's a time for solidarity, right? It is a very scary time. And I think when we talk about being visible and standing up, first of all, we have to recognize that transgender Wisconsinites, even trans kids, have been perpetually put in the position of having to defend their own lives and their own humanity. And it is time for all of the rest of us to really show up for their rights, especially in this scary time right now, where it really might not be as safe for people to be defending their own rights and their own humanity, which, of course, we have to honor and respect and lift the voices and also not make them do it alone. So I think part of that is realizing that this administration is going after some of our most vulnerable neighbors because they think they can get away with it and because it lays groundwork. So we have to stop it now. We have to stop it because our trans loved ones deserve our support and the right to thrive. And we also have to stop it because no one is safe for future attacks if we don't stop this now. And it's all about looking for connections within and across communities, realizing we're all in this together. We, as the LGBTQ plus sort of broad umbrella community, there is no queer liberation for LGB people without also liberation for trans people, but also within and across communities. Of course, we are seeing such vicious attacks against our immigrant communities, against our BIPOC communities. We are all together here. There are queer and trans people who are immigrants, and there are queer and trans people of color who also all need this solidarity and this support.
Abigail Swetz is with us, the executive director of Fair Wisconsin. In talking about minors, especially, and when we're talking about transgender issues, we often hear, of course, about the bullying and the political bullying that comes up. So let's turn that around. Let's be proactive. And let's say, because I think a lot of voters want to know, rather than hearing the attacks and everything, what is in the mindset of you, of Fair Wisconsin, the LGBTQ community, what is the best case scenario? What is the best way forward for, especially, let's say, parents with a child who is struggling with gender issues? You know, where is it that you feel like we all should be? Because one person's gender affirming care is another person's, well, stuff I don't even want to say because it's just so far right. Ridiculous, but they think it's what's happening. Where is the right ground if you could make that happen?
Sure. So it's sort of, I would end the sentence with one person's gender affirming care is another person's lies they've been told. And so it's important that we really lift the truth when we're talking about things like the health medically necessary, age appropriate, highly individualized, life affirming health care that our trans youth and trans adults need. And so that's one of the things that we need to make sure we're doing is staying well informed and staying informed in a way that we can meet others where they're at, which is often a place of either miss, dis, or just no information so that we can move them along. I'm a former middle school teacher who knows very well that you cannot teach a kid if you don't meet them where they're at in order to grow them beyond where they're at. And so that can be really hard, of course. But I think there are a few things we can use in our toolbox. And I know many of us are about to be around Thanksgiving tables with people who might not always see eye to eye with us. And I think a few things that to keep in mind with those conversations are leading with love, both for the person that you are speaking to, but especially for the people we are talking about. Our trans kids, our trans Wisconsinites deserve so much love and support right now, just a wraparound hug as we support their rights. Another thing to keep in mind is when we're talking about gender affirming care, we're talking about the ability for a trans youth or a trans adult to live in a body that feels like home. I feel like that's a universal desire that a lot of us can understand. And if we can approach that with some love and that with some generosity of our own understanding of whether or not we've had that kind of struggle with a body image issue before, I feel like that's something a lot of people can sort of have an avenue into understanding. And that's something that I know has been helpful for me when I'm having conversations who just don't have with people who don't have an understanding. And the last thing I just say is making sure we're using loving language when we're talking about people. There's a lot of mis and disinformation and lies that are being spread on the other side where people are using words that are hateful or words that are just inaccurate. trans people are not issues. Trans people are people. So we should always make sure we're leading with the human language when we're having these conversations.
Yeah, you've got fans out there like on Facebook. Walter says, great to see Abby on your program. As a former president of Fair Wisconsin back in the day, fighting for the B community and the acronym, I am glad of their fight for those in the minority of the larger community. And
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, look, a whole lot of people want these words of affirmation. They want to lead with love. Some feel like, well, there's more for me to learn first. And I feel like if we've been helpful in any way in this country, there's still a lot of ugliness out there. But I would like to think that there are more people than ever saying, you know what, before I pop off, I'm going to read about this a little bit more.
Right.
You know, and not just take things at face value, especially some of the ridiculousness that we see in our politics these days. Abigail, I could go on and on. Let's continue this conversation again sometime. Abigail Swetz is the executive director of Fair Wisconsin. This was such a pleasure, Abigail. Thank you. Have a good Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Yes, and I'll look forward to that email I'm about to get from my mom.
There you go. Mom, she done good. So
thank
you. Good work out of you. All right, take care now. 7:48 right now, and coming up in our next hour, we're going to talk to our friends John and Gordy from our civic media station, WMDX in Madison, about our question of the day. How far do you go for your Thanksgiving travels? How far are your guests coming? 855-75-CIVIC is the number for calling or texting. And then at 8:35, we'll talk to author Laura Bird, her monthly visit with some book recommendations, this time with, of course, the accent on gratitude. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, add this to your newsletter reading list if you haven't already, Civic Media Today. It is Civic Media's new daily newsletter filled with links to show highlights and much more. Head to civicmediatoday.substack.com, civicmediatoday.substack.com. Let's visit with Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cuska now to talk about the weekend. Jimmy, good morning. How are you?
Morning. It's a busy week in sports, believe it or not. With Thanksgiving comes a whole bunch of tournaments and other fun things.
Which got an early start. You and Parker apparently had to spend Saturday together doing some football.
Well, there was a glass case separating us, so he sat amongst the people, and I was up in the ivory tower of the broadcast booth. But
yeah, that makes sense. Yes, okay.
We did take in the Culver's Isthmus Bowl on Saturday, which is one of two Division III college football bowl games held in Wisconsin. It was in its fifth year, and this year it was UW Stout getting the win over Wash U of St. Louis. So it was a very fun time.
Great. Okay. Parker, you can attest. Good time.
I can attest. It was a very good time. That's the first time I've been to that bowl game. I've been wanting to go pretty much every year. Finally had a chance to actually do it, and it was a ton of fun. I thought it was very well done. I was actually like kind of pleasantly surprised.
Speaking of which, I was with the grandkids this weekend out in Kalamazoo, again, home of Western Michigan University, and we were talking about the season there for that football team, which got us talking about bowl games. Try to explain bowl games to a six-year-old boy. You know, I mean, it's just what bowl? The bowl of what? What's with the bowls? It's like we just wanted to, like, playoffs. It's playoffs, but we're talking playoffs, man. But they just wanted to focus on the bowls. Anyway, let's get to high school football just for a sec, because on Friday was the Division I, II, and III championship football game. So let's be sure we give proper due to the champions there, Jimmy.
Yeah, as we talked about last week, there were 7 11-player football championships in Wisconsin, Division 7 through 4 on Thursday, 3 through 1 on Friday. So we talked about the smaller school games with D7, Kenosha St. Joseph, D6 in Darlington, D5, Mayville, and then D4 in Winneconne. But the second day of the state football championships, all three of the games were wildly entertaining. There were state records set, I think, in all three of the games. So Division III was a very entertaining game between Grafton and Reedsburg. Grafton kicked a field goal with 6 seconds remaining to beat Reedsburg 17-15. Division II was West DePere over Notre Dame. Notre Dame running back Kingston Allen set the state record for single season rushing yards in that game, but it was West DePere in the high-powered passing attack with Pat Greason getting it done, 28-14. And then D1, I think, had a lot of people commenting just on the late game situation that happened in that one, with deciding whether to go for a field goal to tie or touchdown to win. It ended up being Arrowhead winning on a kick return from 76 yards away, a squib kick that Arrowhead housed from 76 yards away, winning over Bayport 18-15. So that is it for high school football this year.
A 76-yard return to cap off the high school football season.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
And then, of course, Bayport driving down to the 11, and then instead of kicking a field goal with a kicker who was 4-for-4 on the year, 65 of 67 on PATs, deciding, you know what, we're going to try to win this thing right here at the end. Incomplete pass ended the season. So that is how we end high school football in Wisconsin this year, with seven, I think, really, really good games, and really representing the best that Wisconsin has to offer.
And then to add to the football entertainment, of course, you had the Badgers beating Brett Bielema and the rest of Illinois, but that felt good.
Yeah, another chance for the fans to huddle for warmth as they rush the field afterwards. So that was I know people are going to complain about running onto the field after Washington and Illinois, like, they're, you know, top 25 teams, but you got to understand, like, people in Wisconsin were just ready to, like, you know, get rid of all the coaches again, reset the Badgers, all, you know, all this stuff, and it just feels good to win, you know. So
yeah, without a doubt. And then you know, the cherry on top, of course, is the Packers not just beating the Vikings, but I mean dominating them, especially on defense. That's just we've never talked about, as Jimmy does the skull chant again. We've just never had that. Look, Pittsburgh had, you know, the steel curtain. The Vikings had the purple people eaters, you know. Green Bay, I mean, we've had good defensive players, don't get me wrong, but I mean, this might be this is in the making, the best known defensive unit throughout an entire season that we've seen. This is a heck of a unit.
It's just amazing that Micah Parsons ended up in Green Bay. The Packers allowed the fewest points of any team yesterday, 6 points. I think, honestly, like, having that identity that you're going to be a defense first team, and you got just enough pop on offense to you know, to get through. You have Watson coming back healthy over the top. You're going to get healthier at running back when Jacobs returns. You know, I just, you know, I know Love has the separated shoulder, but you know, you feel a little better about it knowing that you can at least play defense and keep yourself in games, even if the offense is struggling. So going into the stretch now, where 5 of their 7 and now 4 of their 6 remaining games are against NFC North opponents, you feel a little better about it, especially because there's nobody in the division that is some unbeatable juggernaut. No. Packers control their own destiny the rest of the way. I know the Bears are leading the division, but they still get the Bears twice in December. So there's a lot of positive, a lot of good to look forward to with Green Bay, the final 6 games, which starts on Thursday.
Every Micah Parsons sack, you know, everybody just does the same thing. Thank you, Jerry Jones. Yep. Thank you for
right out of the Packers fence. So
whatever the heck you were thinking. And you know, the guys on the radio were saying during the game, when he matched a sack stat from Reggie White, it's like, these are two very different defensive players, but who rack up the same kind of numbers, have, you know, very similar talents. You know, it's too early to say that with certainty about Micah Parsons, but again, to get somebody that domineering on our defense has been just a wonderful surprise compared to what we were thinking in training camp.
Yeah, you know? Two parts of it, too, is that one, he draws a lot of attention, which frees everybody else up. But the other part, going into the game yesterday, he led the NFL this season in pressures on the quarterback with 60. So he's making an impact not only on his own stat line, but the people around him play better as a result. And I think anytime you can, you know, I know it was a steep price to pay, but anytime you can get an all-world guy like this in your defense, you do it. Packers are proving that this has so far been an incredible investment. So
it really has. So as Jimmy said, Packers Lions, Thanksgiving Day, noon kickoff. Coverage begins at 10 a.m., but that's not all. There's Badger men's basketball as well versus Providence. Pregame starts at 2:30. Different Civic Media stations, depending on your hometown. Look it up, civicmedia.us, to learn more. Jimmy Cuska, thank you.
Talk to you Wednesday.
You got it. All right. When we come back, we'll be talking to John and Gordy and author Laura Bird, all after the 8 o'clock news. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.